Hi. I didn't want to break it. Hi! Hey, I know the band hates it when I do this, but can we one more time just thank them so much for leading us in worship? Yeah! 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 You guys have a great day at camp? Yeah! So who are the brave souls for the belly flop, blob thing and that, all that? Brave souls, nice job! Nice job. Who here has had enough sugar to last you a lifetime already this week at camp? Yep. Yep. Well, hey, before we get started, I told you guys a few days ago that today is actually my daughter's birthday today. So, on three, we're all just going to say, happy birthday, Eden, okay? Can we do that together? She's in the back somewhere. Okay, here we go. On three. One, two, three. Happy birthday, Eden. Yeah! All right. I love you, sweetheart. I love you. Mwah. All right. She is awesome. I love her so much. She is so beautiful and incredible in every way. So she turns nine today. Nine. Yeah. So, hey, man, I'm excited again for tonight. Another opportunity for us to come together to learn a little bit more about Saul and Samuel and that filthy beast who keeps making stupid decisions. Anybody know somebody who makes stupid decisions? Raise your hand. Please don't point. Don't point. They're like, this person, not very smart. He keeps making some weird choices. This guy named Saul. He keeps making some weird choices. So tonight, we're going to continue to look at his life. We're going to continue to look at some of these choices he's making. And we're going to see if maybe as much as we look at him and we're like, man, what are you doing? Are you kidding me? We look at Saul, but the truth is that a lot of us, if we were to take the time to look at our lives, we might be making some very similar choices, but it's so much easier to see it in someone else than it is to see it in our own lives. And so we've kind of been building up to this moment. And the first night we were together, I said a few words, then I had you repeat a few words, and then I said a few more words, and then you repeated a few more words back. And to see if you remember what we've been talking about, let's do it all together real quick. Are we ready? God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
And all the time?
God is
good. That's right. We've been talking about just the power, the might, the righteousness, the holiness, the greatness, the power of our God, and how amazing and incredible God truly is. We've also talked about this thing that sometimes steps in and gets in the way, that we put our own way, will, want, and whim above him, and that is sin. And that thing of sin, it kind of messes everything up, and it's so hard for us to see God's perfection in the midst of the enemy's pollution. And tonight, we're going to continue looking at some of those things. And so if you have a Bible, I want you to get it out. I want you to get it out. And we're going to open it up to 1 Samuel. If you don't know where 1 Samuel is, you can open up your Bible to the first few pages. There's a thing called the Table of. It'll be broken down into the Old Testament and the New Testament. You will go to the Old Testament. As you look down the Old Testament, bing, you will see a book called 1 Samuel. It'll give you a page number. You will turn to that page number. And as you turn to that page number, you will see big numbers and small numbers. The big numbers are the chapters, and the small numbers are the verses. I would like for you to go to 1 Samuel, big number 15. Or the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 15, or the 15th chapter of the book 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 15, or the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel. First Samuel chapter 15, or the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel. If you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
If you're not, say, please wait.
Please wait.
You filthy. I'm beginning not to believe any of y'all when you do that. First Samuel chapter 15, if your neighbor is not there, will you help them find it? Be like Jesus and help them find 1 Samuel 15. If you do not have your Bible tonight, for whatever reason, just go ahead and cozy up into the person next to you so you can share a Bible. First Samuel chapter 15, or the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel. So one more reminder, tonight is an important night for me. We're gonna talk about some huge things, some important things that might actually change the course of your life forever. Excuse me. And so part of that is I have a few expectations. Please listen to these expectations very closely because I like to laugh. I like to have a lot of fun. I like to have a good time. But there's also times for us to kind of redirect and get our focus back on who God is. Here are my expectations. There's to be no talking, mocking, spitting, biting, licking, kicking, flicking, farting, passing of bodily gases, or general botherment of those around you. Okay, one more time. Listen up. There's to be no talking, mocking, spitting, biting, licking, kicking, flicking, farting, passing of bodily gases, or general botherment of those around you. There's to be no talking, mocking, spitting, biting, licking, kicking, flicking, farting, passing of bodily gases, general botherment of those around you. So don't do it. Okay? Have you guys ever seen warning labels on things? Like, you know, like, now, I remember one time I was at Walmart, and it's like the best store ever. I was at Walmart, and I was getting some of those plastic tubs, and they've got lids, those like lids that like snap on. And on the inside of the lid, it's got a warning label, and it's got a child in the box. And it's got the lid closed on the box. And it's got a big red circle with a line through it to remind you, do not lock your children into this plastic box. Okay, hold on. I one time ordered a cup of coffee. You know, a normal hot cup of coffee. And on the cup of coffee, it said 40,000 times on the cup, caution, hot coffee. They have warning labels because somewhere someone thought it was a good idea to lock their child in a plastic box. They have a warning label on a hot cup of coffee. Because someone somewhere thought it was a good idea to take that cup of coffee, put it in their lap, and squeeze their legs together, spill it all over themselves, and then say, I'm gonna sue them because that was really hot. When I have expectations for the evening, they might sound a little silly and a little odd, but let me tell you, that list used to not contain all those things. It used to only say, hey, stop talking, shut up, sit there, and learn about Jesus. Love you, shut your mouth, okay? But over time, I had to increase the list. Why? Because there were filthy junior high kids who thought it was fair and appropriate in a time such as this to do disturbing things. Listen to these expectations one last time and imagine a scenario at which someone around you would do such a heinous crime. There's to be no, listen, talking, mocking, spitting. There's to be no talking, mocking, spitting, biting, licking, kicking, flicking, farting, passing of bodily gases. And then I didn't want to make up any more specifics, so I added the catch-all or general botherment of those all around you. I once had someone say, "But Chris, you said there's to be no farting. But why did you say there's to be no passing of bodily gases? Aren't they the same thing?" No! They are not. It is hard. Shh. It is hard to be in the moment. Jesus paid it all. And someone burps up tri-tip and goes, and all to him I, oh man! Brother needs a Tic Tac. Oh! Precious child of God. No. We need an exorcism for this guy over here. This is something evil brewing in him. It's bad. Tonight, as we look at God's word, I'm asking for tonight for you to be on, man, just asking for tonight for a sense of maturity as we open up his word. I like to laugh. I like to have fun. But also at the same time, when it's time for us to refocus, we can refocus. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let's pray it up. Jesus, you are awesome. And we just want to come before you tonight and thank you for absolutely everything of this week. And not just this week, everything that has led us up to this moment tonight. All the things that had to go right. It's by no mistake that we are here. And so God, regardless if this is our first time ever in something like this with church, or we've grown up and been coming to church our whole lives, become real to us. Become real to us. Give us the courage to respond. Give us the courage to ask questions. Give us the courage to really believe what we were singing. That, yeah, you paid it all. So God, be with us tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. So, one quick story, because I like stories. So tonight is also kind of an odd special night that tonight I've been able to come up here to Hume Lake and I've been able to share God's word. I believe this is my 8th summer that I've been coming up to Hume Lake. And in that, that's good. That's really good. Good job. No. Okay. In that 8 years of coming up here, my beautiful bride has never been able to come to a chapel to actually hear me teach ever in 8 years, because we keep having filthy little kids and she has to keep watching them. But tonight she's here for the first time to hear me preach. Now in that, there was a moment when I first met what was going to be my future bride. And what happened was this. I was hanging out with a friend, and my friend says, "Hey, I'm going to go to a softball game. You want to come with me?" And I said, "Yes, let's go." And he said, "Okay, let's go." So we get in the car, and we're driving. He's like, "Oh, and by the way, I got to pick somebody up." And I was like, "Okay, cool." So we're just chatting or whatever, and we're going to go watch a softball game. And so we're going. We get out of the car. We walk up to this house together, and I'm still talking about who knows what. And so all of a sudden, we knock on the door, and I'm like mid-sentence, and I turn around, and the brother man is running away, running around the side of the house, and left me standing on the doorstep of a house I've never been to before, when a stranger I've never met is about to open the door. And all of a sudden, the door opens, and it is as if an angel herself opens the door. The door opens and there she stands. And I'm like, ha, ba, 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 ba. She's like, hi. And I'm like, ba, 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 ba. And then my buddy runs around. He's like, and I'm like, ha, ha, well done. Yes. So we were hanging out and we were around some group friends and doing this kind of thing. And you know, when you like someone, you kind of deliberately find out what things they're going to so you can make sure you're there too. Hashtag real talk, hashtag borderline stalker. So we would hang out and I'd find out what things she's going to, and I would go man, when you just know there's something special there, and she was all pretty and everything. So we had hung out in a group. We had hung out in a group for a few months. And we had never been on a date. Ever, ever. Okay, here we go. Ever been on a date? Oh, hold on. This story right now, guys in the room, let me tell you this right now. What I'm about to tell you is awesome. However, at the same time, ladies in the room, it's going to raise your standards a little bit. So what happened was this. We had never been on a date before. We were in some group, you know, stuff going on, and I was watching, she was watching, we'd talk, and I'd be like, oh, flirty, flirty, and she's like, oh, right? And so we were at a college retreat. We're up in the mountains. Snow was slowly falling to the ground. And I said, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? She's like, yeah, sure. So we go out back, and it's kind of behind this restaurant. And there's some snow around. And okay, now, shh, we had never been on a date before. We had never really talked about going on a date before this moment. And the first thing that comes out of my mouth is, you have every quality in someone I want in a wife. So I said, before you say anything, and her eyes are like, what is that? Creeper. I said, look, I know we've been hanging out, but here's the deal. I'm probably going to be a pastor one day. I'm probably not going to make a whole lot of money. I'd love to have kids. I don't know where God's going to send me. It could be California. It could be Zimbabwe. I have no idea. Listen, listen. Oh, it gets better. And I said, I don't know where God's going to send me. I have no idea. But here's the truth. Here's the truth. I will wait as long as you need to give me an answer. But it gets better. But I said, I'd like to see where this goes if maybe we start dating, but we have to be honest with each other that the moment one of us thinks that this is not going to end in marriage, let's save ourselves the heartache and the time and just be honest with one another. But my intentions up front is this, I'm all in. She made me wait 3 weeks. Not one text, not one email, not one head nod, nothing. Then she calls me up and she says, let's see where this goes. And I'm like, about a year later, we were engaged. About a year later after that, we were married, and it's awesome. But here's the thing. Could you imagine if I walked up to her in that moment And I said, hey, I kind of like you. I think you kind of like me. And I don't know where this is going to go. But look, I'm going to kind of like you. But if someone better comes along, I'm going to date them. Cool? That'd be a little weird. Some of the guys are like, well, yeah, that's what you do. And I'm like, that's why you're single. But in that moment, I didn't realize what was happening, but there's a very crazy parallel between how I kind of responded in that moment and I think the way that God wants us to respond to him. And this is what I think it is. I think it's true that God doesn't want us to give him this quasi half-time, part-time, only when it's convenient type relationship, or I'm only going to like you until something better comes along. I think God wants us, somebody's like, preach it, brother, preach it. I think God wants all of us. I think he wants us to be all in our relationship and our pursuit of him. Not part-time, not half-time. Not just when you're with certain friends. Not just when you're at church. Not just when it's convenient or easy. I think God wants all of us. He wants all of us. He wants all of our obedience. Now, this is the problem Saul is running into. If you have your Bibles open to 1 Samuel chapter 15, big number 15, small number 19, this is the problem I believe that Saul is running into. That Saul is wrestling with this, and he doesn't realize it, but what he's doing is he's kind of giving God part-time, half-time, church time, only with certain friends time, only when it's easy, only when it's convenient type of a relationship. He's not really truly all in. As we saw in the drama, what begins to happen is that God is asking Saul to continue to move forward and to go after and fight this army. But he says, you are to destroy everything, you are to take nothing, and you are to destroy it all, and this is what I'm asking you to do, Saul. This is my commandment, this is my word. And yet Saul goes in, he takes over the army, defeats them, and then the people start to take the plunder, take all the stuff that God asked Saul to make sure was destroyed. And Saul goes along with it. He disobeys God in this moment. He put his own way, will, want, and whim above him, and that is sin. And then what happens is Samuel, like we saw in the drama, comes up and rebukes Saul and is saying, what are you doing? Are you kidding me? God doesn't want part-time obedience. He wants full-time obedience. He wants you to be all in your commitment and your trust and your hope and your faith, everything in him. He wants all of you, not just half-time, part-time, sometimes. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, big number 15, small number 19. And it goes in. We're coming in here to where Samuel's speaking, and Samuel's speaking to Saul, and Samuel says, why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but rushed upon the spoil, all the plunder, and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord? In verse 20, then Saul said to Samuel, but I did obey the Lord. I went on the mission which the Lord sent me, and I defeated them. I destroyed them. Verse 21, but it was some of the people. It's not me, Samuel, it was some of the people. They took the spoil and the sheep and the oxen. It was their fault. He tries to pass the blame on himself back onto the people. Samuel ain't having it. Verse 22. And Samuel says, has the Lord as much delight in these burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed his word is better than sacrifices. Verse 23, for rebellion is a sin of divination, And insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry because you have rejected the word of the Lord. And he has also then rejected you from being king. See, there's a consequence here. Saul thought it was good enough to give part-time, partial, half-time, sometimes, only when it's convenient, obedience to God. And Samuel has to come back in and remind Saul. He's like, look, 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 you can say you're obedient sometimes, but if you're not obedient all the time, you're still putting your own way, will, want, and whim above him. And that is sin. God does not want disobedience. God gives you a command. He gives you these rules. He gives you these laws. He gives you these commands so that you can be protected and that you can be obedient. It reveals your love and your heart and your trust in your heavenly Father who's created these boundaries for you because he loves you and he's trying to protect you. And you're part-time trusting. And part-time putting yourself on the throne of God. Eventually what happens is that Samuel tells Saul that you're gonna lose your rightful place as king because you are no longer trustworthy. And there's gonna be one who comes after you. And what actually begins to happen is the one that God chooses to come next is actually the one who in generations later is a descendant upon the Savior of the world. His name is Jesus Christ. You see, there are consequences to sin. There are consequences when we put our own way, will, want, and whim above him. Both now on earth there are consequences, but there are also eternal consequences. We talked a little bit about this idea of sin the other day. When I was mentioning that I like to define it as whenever you put your own way, will, want, and whim above him, that is sin. And as honest and as much love as I can give, I just want to be truth. I just want to be honest with you. I think you can all handle this. Look, here's the truth. God loves us as his people. He created us on purpose for a purpose. He knit us together in our mother's womb. In fact, it says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are all children of God. And yet all of us at some point have chosen to reject the voice of our Creator King, the most powerful, holy, righteous man. We've rejected his voice and we put him off the throne and we put our own way, will, want, and whim above him. And that is sin. And God hates sin. God's desire from the very beginning, all the way back in Genesis with our first parents, was to have us live in paradise. To walk with him hand in hand. And yet we now find ourselves in a situation where we look at the world around us and we're like, man, this world is broken and it's messed up. There's destruction and disease, death, divorce, and God feels like he's a million miles away. There's such distance between us and God, so much so I don't even see him, I don't even hear him, I don't even feel him, I don't even know if he's real. And it's easy for us to want to blame God for these things. But back in the very beginning, God didn't want these things. He wanted us to be in paradise. He wanted us to be with him, to walk with him, because he loves us as his children. See, the story of God begins all the way back in the book of Genesis. In fact, in Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God," which means everything is about him, because of him, and for him. The man speaks, and the cosmos is created. He is powerful. And he laid out from the very beginning. You see, Saul doesn't understand the full story that we now have before us in the scriptures. But we see from the very beginning, he speaks of obedience and blessing. He speaks of the blessings that come from trusting in him as our heavenly Father. He speaks of the consequences that come from disobedience and putting our own way, will, want, and whim above him. And time again, you can see over and over again in all the scriptures and all the stories of all the blessings that come from trust and obedience and all the consequences that come from disobedience and this thing called sin. And in the midst of this, this world becomes more and more polluted, so much so that now it's hard to see God's perfection in the midst of the enemy's pollution. And while people were choosing disobedience
It was destroying our world. It was destroying their relationship with God. And it has created all of us to be in this weird space. This thing of sin has messed everything up. But while these blessings of obedience, these consequences of disobedience, of sin, were being clearly detailed, clearly laid out, God even has books detailing all of his expectations, all of his laws, all of his commandments, because he loves and protects, wants to guide us, wants us to know what he truly designed and desired for all of us to experience, which is to be with him. He's also laying out the reality that there is absolutely nothing we can do to fix this problem of sin. That sin destroys everything, destroys our relationship with him. And we cannot get back to God no matter how much good we try to do. And he's detailing out in all of Scripture, and he's telling us that one day one would come who would repair all things. Who would restore all things. That one day, one would come and live a holy, pure, sinless life. And that person would see all of the people from the past and would see all the people before him and would see all the people in the future, us included in this, and would say the fulfillment of the law, which is sin equals death, would be paid in full by this special someone. This special someone eventually came in the line of a king that replaced Saul, and his name is Jesus. Jesus Christ lived a holy, pure, sinless life, and ultimately went to the cross to pay it all. You see, we read the other day in Romans 3:23 that says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We read Romans 6:23, which says the wages of sin is death. But that passage continues, and there's a little bit more to that passage. In Romans chapter 6, it says this. It says the wages of sin, the consequence of sin is death. That death is this eternal separation from God. But a free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It details it out further and it says this in Romans chapter 5. It says, for while we were still helpless, while we were still sinners, at the right time, Christ died for us. One could hardly imagine someone dying for a righteous man. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What does this mean? Let me tell you the truth here. Church, listen up, church. If we shredded the lights, if we tore down the stage, if we just said, man, get rid of all this stuff is cool and this stuff is great, let's get rid of all of it and let's just get real for a moment. I want you guys to look up here. Let's get real for a moment. At some point, all of us have put our own way, will, want, and whim above him. We've all done it. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I want to tell you this right now, church, because I love you and I want you to know the truth. God hates sin. It destroys his creation. It destroys what he actually designed and desired for us, which is to be with him. Sin separates us from him for all eternity. And there's nothing we can do to tip the scales. There's nothing we can do to outdo our bad. There's nothing we can do. But God didn't leave us in this place. He said, I love you, I love my children who I knit together in their mother's womb. I love them so much that I am not going to allow them to remain in this state, even though they chose to put their own way, will, want, and whim above me. I'm never going to let them stay there. I'm going to give them one more choice. Man, choice is our greatest gift and our worst enemy. It was the very choice that we took that pushed him off the throne, put our own way and will and whim in front of him. And as the very choice, he says, I'm going to give you one more choice. Here's the choice, a free ticket to heaven, a free chance of redemption, a free chance of salvation, a do-over, a redo, a fresh start. I'm going to wash away all the sin of old, and I'm going to make you brand new in my eyes. This is the choice. You either remain in this state, and you take the penalty of sin upon yourself, which is death, or my son, Jesus Christ, the holy, pure, sinless one of God, God in flesh, will die on the cross in your place. You come before me, surrender all that you are, not halftime, not part-time, not sometime, not when it's convenient, not church time, not when I'm with certain friends, but all the time to me. And I will transfer you from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of light. This is your choice. In church, this is the very choice that Jesus is giving to you tonight. He says, you want to know how much I hate sin and how much I hate that it destroys everything? I want you to stare at the cross. I hate sin. I want you to see my son on that cross, beaten, bruised, crucified, nailed to the cross. You want to see how much I love each and every one of you? I want you to stare at that same beautiful, rugged cross. That is my son taking your penalty upon himself for you to live forever with me in the kingdom of God. And we have to come to a place that says, yes, I confess, I have sinned, I have done wrong, I've put my own way, will, want, and whim in front of you, and that is sin. And God, I know sin needs to be punished, and I sometimes I didn't know, and now that I do, I need you. I don't want to take that on myself. I don't want to be in this kingdom, the dominion of dark. I want to be in the kingdom of light. God, I'm going to make a better choice now. Yes, I want you, Jesus, to pay the penalty of my sin, and I will give you all of me, my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength, all of my obedience, everything to you, because you are the one true King. And tonight, I'm going to give you an opportunity to make that declaration of surrender. If you are someone in this room and you have never come to a point where you've said, yes, I have sinned, I've put my own way, will, want, and whim above him, and you've never come to Jesus and said, Jesus, I want to make a better choice. I want to choose you. I want to ask you to take my penalty of sin upon yourself on the cross, and I want to surrender it all to you. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth and we believe in our hearts that Jesus lived a holy life, pure life, he went to the cross to pay the penalty of sin. And get this, you know, this is such a beautiful thing of God's revealing his power. They buried Jesus in a tomb, and the power of sin and death has no power over our almighty righteous King, because they buried him in a tomb. And 3 days later, he said, you want to see the power of God? I will walk out of that tomb, conquering the power of sin and death, taking my children, taking my army, and leading them into the kingdom of light. This is the power of our King. And if you've never made this choice, I want to give you the opportunity tonight to say enough is enough. I want to give you the opportunity to choose the one true King. So what's going to happen is this. In a few moments, I'm going to count to three. And if you are someone who's never made that choice before, you have never made that, you've never done this before, and you want to say, I need Jesus, I need the King to pay the penalty of my sin that I can walk, man, can walk with him. What I'm going to do is I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to ask you to stand up. Now, the reason why I do that is this. Jesus doesn't want part-time. He doesn't want half-time. He doesn't want sometime. He doesn't want church time. He doesn't want just in certain friend time. He wants all of us. And Jesus even says, if you stand before me before men, I will stand before you before my Father. And as a sign of trust, as a sign of surrender, I'm going to ask you to stand in boldness, in courage, to say, I'm unashamed and I'm unafraid because I need the King. And if you've never made that decision before, Tonight is your night to say yes to the King. If you are someone who has made this choice before, we're going to have another night just specifically for you, and we'll talk more about that soon. But if you are someone who's never said yes to the King, and you want him to pay the penalty of sin, and you want to be transferred from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of light, I'm going to count to three, and you're going to stand. And as they stand, I'm going to ask, as other brothers and sisters in Christ, we are the church. And when someone surrenders their life to the Christ, to the King, they've been transferred from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of light. And I think that's worth celebrating. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to count to three. And if you've never made that choice and you're ready to say yes to the King, you're going to stand. Then we as the church are going to support them and rally them, and we're going to give them a little bit of love and celebration. And then what I'm going to ask is this. I'm going to do one of these numbers. And those that are standing, I'm going to ask you to come up here towards the front, while those of you who aren't ready to make that choice or you've already made that choice, I'm going to ask for you with a spirit of maturity to leave here in a moment of silence. And we're just going to take a moment and pray for those who've made that first time decision. You guys with me on this? Church, I don't know how you got here. I don't know what your background is, and I don't know all the things that have led up to this moment, but I can tell you this, there is no mistake that you are here right now in this moment. And if you are someone who's never made that choice to say yes to the one true King, I'm gonna ask you to say yes to him, and you're gonna stand and say, I want Jesus to pay the penalty of sin, and I want to be with the King. One, two, three. If that is you, why don't you go ahead and stand right now? If you are someone who is standing, you are saying yes to the King. And I want to tell you right now, heaven rejoices just like all of us here are rejoicing. And I'm going to ask if you are standing to go ahead and make your way and come right up here towards the front. Everyone else, in a spirit of silence, as soon as they leave your row, I want you to step out.